Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Well, here's the holy grail when it comes to healthcare costs. We need to get costs down while also making people healthier, especially the most vulnerable patients. A new study from Harvard Medical School finds that something called an alternative quality contract might be accomplishing exactly that. Now, healthcare policy can be a thicket of incomprehensible jargon, so let's start with a little explainer from Michael Chernu. He's professor of healthcare policy at Harvard Medical School. And first, he explains how healthcare gets paid for most of the time, the traditional fee-for-service model.
The doctor got paid for everything they did for you, even if it was completely useless. And so there was very little incentive for the doctors in the hospitals to try to figure out how to most efficiently provide care to improve your health.
So all those blood tests, MRIs, other exams, healthcare providers get paid for all of them, even if you stay sick. For some time now, though, there are some physicians in Massachusetts and Massachusetts insurers who've been experimenting with a different payment model called the alternative quality contract. Chernu says it's a paradigm shift that forces doctors and hospitals to ask themselves an entirely different set of questions, such as,
how can I provide the best care for the patient for the lowest cost, looking at the entire patient as opposed to the specific service? And it therefore allows organizations that find ways to create savings, avoiding unnecessary imaging procedures, avoiding unnecessary surgeries. And likewise, it rewards them if they do a set of things that we believe will improve your health.
So that's a little healthcare payments 101 there. Now, to this exciting new Harvard study. Chernu and his team say they've got the data to show that alternative quality contracts work.
It lowers spending, improves quality, and in fact, improves quality a little bit more for the people that were most disadvantaged.
And it's that last part that has Chernu most excited. There's long been a concern that changing the way doctors are paid might inadvertently backfire on the poorest patients. Chernu's study, though, followed 299,000 Massachusetts Blue Cross Blue Shield members who live in poorer neighborhoods and about 245,000 members from more affluent neighborhoods. And they found that everyone got greater access to preventative care, but the gains were actually bigger for poorer patients. More checkups, more screenings, more blood tests.
In the alternative quality contract, there were strong rewards for the medical groups to make sure that everybody got better quality. The lower SES groups were starting from a somewhat lower level of testing, and so the medical groups invested more resources, or our results are consistent with the hypothesis that the groups invested more resources in improving quality for those folks, effectively bringing them up closer to where the higher socioeconomic status groups were.
Mm. And can you tell me a little bit more about what these rewards were for physicians or healthcare providers that may have led to this outcome?
Well, they had a relatively complicated process for reimbursing the medical groups based on their quality of care. If you did sort of maximally well at getting people tested and getting the outcomes better, those types of things. But essentially, they translated your clinical behavior into financial rewards of about 10% of total spending.
So really, the overall finding points you to this idea that with this alternative care and payment model, folks who are lower on the socioeconomic scale were able to get as much or comparable rates of testing that's important in monitoring certain diseases such as diabetes.
Right.
But my follow-up question to that then is, that's great. They were getting more care and perhaps, but was it more effective care? Did it lead to better health outcomes?
In our study, we didn't find a big effect on health outcomes, but there's a number of reasons why that may be difficult to pick up with the data that we had. There were, for example, lags between getting tested and treated and moving through the system. So I don't think we're ready to say that we have made big changes in, for example, blood sugar levels or cholesterol levels across the different SES groups, although I should note both groups were doing better.
Both groups are doing better.
Both groups are doing better in comparable rates. So we didn't necessarily reduce the disparities, but the contract did seem to do somewhat better for both. The big message from our study is that we happen to be in an era where there's a lot of attention to transforming the way in which healthcare is paid in this country to hold the delivery system more accountable for spending and outcomes, because we believe that there's opportunities to both provide better care at a lower cost if we can change the way that the incentives work within the healthcare system. And you see a big push to move to those new payment models in the entire state of Massachusetts. The big concern that people have had is that as these incentives change and give the delivery system the incentive to provide care more efficiently, that somehow the providers will skimp on quality. Within that concern, there's a big worry that that will impact the most disadvantaged beneficiaries, socioeconomically disadvantaged beneficiaries in the population. And so we undertook our study because we were interested in understanding if this move to new payment models would have a beneficial or deleterious effect on everybody overall, and in particularly the low SES population, which is often more vulnerable. And not only did we find overall improvement for both the high SES and the low SES population, we found some evidence. The more optimistic reading of the results would be that the alternative quality contract hit the trifecta. It lowered spending, it improved qualities, and it narrowed disparities.
But did it lower cost, and if so, by how much?
So we've published other work that showed that it did lower cost, and after 4 years, by about 10%.
Now, of course, we're having this conversation in the midst of many, many questions being asked about the future of the Affordable Care Act nationwide. Say the ACA does get repealed sometime soon, would that change the trajectory in terms of how healthcare is going to get paid for across the country? Because, I mean, Massachusetts is one thing, but are there similar experiments being done elsewhere in the nation that could be set back if the ACA is repealed?
The one thing that is true is that there is another law on the books that is getting much less attention than the Affordable Care Act that reformed the way that physicians get paid by Medicare, which is called MACRA, favors payment models such as the alternative quality contract. And so there remains some reason to believe that there is momentum for these types of payment changes, even apart from what's going on in the Affordable Care Act. I think it is unlikely that we will return to a healthcare payment model that we saw back in, say, the 1990s or pick your time, because the concern about spending is so strong that the actual fees will increase at a very, very slow rate. All of these payment models, including the alternative quality contract, they allow healthcare providers, physicians and hospitals, to share in some of the savings if they practice more efficiently. We must continue to monitor and worry about the concerns about what will happen going forward, but so far, it seems that it's been a success.
Michael Chernew is a professor of healthcare policy at the Harvard Medical School. We've got a link to his latest study on health and process outcomes given differing payment models. We have a link to that at our website, radioboston.org. Professor Chernew, thank you so very much.
Magna, thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure.
Back in a moment. I'm Magna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.